Some of you have asked, how did I survive Center Kid? That's a piece of cake for a young man like myself. Why are you laughing back here? Come on now. That wasn't a joke, okay? Sure, okay. Well, we've been in a series of, we've entitled as We Are in Christ, and we're going to wrap up that series today. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 4. We'll be there in a minute. But we've been talking about a number of things that we do not to become a child of God, but because we are children of God. These are just kind of the natural overflow of our lives, things that we do because we're in Christ. We've talked about we pray. We talk to the Father. We talk to God. We give, not just financially, but of our lives and sharing who we are. We serve. We find a place and go and serve the kingdom of God. And then last week we talked about speaking and how we just have to step up at sometimes and say, this is the truth. These are areas that we do because we're in Christ. Now, as we conclude our series, I want to talk to you this morning about growing. And this week, I not only got to go to Center Kid Camp and see 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and 6th graders, of which I was one at one time, and I'll tie that back in a minute. And I also went to my high school reunion Friday night and Saturday for a picnic. And for those of you who are curious, it was 30 years, and one of our Sunday school classes go, adult Sunday school classes go, oh yeah, we weren't even born then. I go, thanks. Made me feel really young. But you know, there's a lot of ways you can grow, right? You can grow physically. Some of us, we struggle with that. You can grow, but it's not just physically in weight. It's also physically you grow from being a child, don't you, to being an adult. You change. You can grow mentally, hopefully. And learning more skills in life and learning to master things in life. You can grow relationally, building friendships, relationships. You can grow financially, learning how to handle finances and money. But I want to talk about spiritual growth. And so that brings me back to my high school reunion. I went Friday evening. They had a mixer. And I got to tell you, I used a line that is not part of my vocabulary on a regular basis. I was one of the first ones to get there and found out where the room was. And so I kind of stood out front and just watched for people to come in, and I could say hi and give them a hug if I wanted to, and just send them on if I didn't. But anyway, y'all went to high school. You know, there's always some that you got along with better. Well, here's the line I kept using. Okay, you go through the restaurant, into the bar, and turn left. Now, I got to tell you, that's not a line I use very often in life, especially the part about into the bar and turn left. But they were getting together and hanging out, and then we got together yesterday for a little picnic, and Miss Williams, my third grade teacher, showed up at our reunion yesterday, and I don't know how old she is, and I wasn't any way going to ask her, but she walked up, and before I realized who she was, she says, "You're Patrick Hunter." That's never a good sign. See, what you don't know, and I'm going to tell you, is when I was a third grader, oh, Lord, I was a lot of trouble. Some of you are going, okay, how's that changed? I understand. Well, that's another conversation. But anyway, my parents moved us from near Little Rock to near Fort Worth when I was summer between second and third grade. And we went into a school as third graders called Irma Nash. And Irma Nash was classic 50s architecture with a full front of glass facing the main east-west corridor through our little town. And for a boy who loves cars, the teacher was over there, so they tell me, I was always looking out the window to see what car was coming by next so I could talk about it and think about it. Of course, I talked about it and got in trouble. And I want you to know, I look at the third graders like at camp this last week, and I think about my third grade. I got a picture of Miss Williams and myself for kind of posterity. But I think about the kid I was then and the struggles and issues I had then, and then had conversations with friends from the class about things that had happened to me during high school, and we're not going to talk about those here today. But I'm not the same man who graduated 30 years ago, and I'm grateful for that. And I have to tell you, many in our class, they hadn't changed. They're the same old loudmouth drunks that they were in high school. But God's changed my life because of growth And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, that he talks in Mark chapter 4. He's got a collection of parables Jesus does here, and he speaks of a parable of a sower in this section, and he talks about seed in general. Then he comes to this particular passage that we're going to look at today. Now, in this parable, we read about one of the smallest of the Middle Eastern seeds. It's a mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed or not. It is about the size of a sand flea cut in quarters. I mean, it is a tiny little seed, just little tiny thing. In fact, it's hard to hold one of them in your hand because they're so tiny. And he takes this idea and talks about a seed maturing and growing and developing and becoming something so much more. Thus my thought with reunion and the changes of life and how this tied in. But he's not really talking about farming. He's not talking about gardening. He's talking about spiritual growth here. And so I want you to look at the words in Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Just a short passage this morning. With what can we compare? And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It, the kingdom of God, is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in the shade. There's four things I want you to see about this idea of growth, and particularly kingdom growth. And you're going, well, we're not in a kingdom, we're in a democracy. Well, if you're a child of God, you're part of the kingdom of God. And you're part of God's work here on earth. And it's called the kingdom of God because we don't really get to vote in the kingdom. We have a king. And he's the one who leads us and directs us and tells us. And none of us are king, by the way. It's the Lord Jesus himself who has that role reserved to himself. So look at verse 30. Kingdom growth, I want you to understand, is available. It's available. Available for who? For you. Look at verse 30. Jesus says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God and what parable shall we use for it? Stop right there. Jesus has been talking to a crowd out in the Galilee, near the Sea of Galilee. He's been using stories that they can understand. He's been using parables. He wants them to understand what he's sharing with them. He could have done some things that are different. He could have said, well, I'm going to talk to you today about the finer points of the law. By the way, I was one of the ones. I'm the one who gave the law, so I could do that. He didn't do that. He could have talked about the intricacies of creation and where we came from. He didn't do that, even though he was there when it happened. He could have spoken about the future to come, because he knows what's going to happen, but he doesn't. Notice what he does. He talks about a seed, a small seed at that, and he's wanting to accomplish one task in this conversation. Here's what he wants, I believe. He wants the crowd gathered to understand that they too could grow up and become a productive part of the kingdom of God. Not by yourself, but part of something much greater. They didn't have to remain in this humdrum life. They didn't have to be nobodies headed nowhere in a hurry. They could instead, with faith and a faith decision, become part of the kingdom of God, part of what the handiwork of God is wanting to accomplish through his purposes and plans right here on earth. And what he is telling them and sharing with them is a story, I believe, of invitation. Those gathered could become part of something so much greater. They could become part of the story that Jesus is talking about. They could become part of the kingdom of which he's speaking. And the reason he spoke in parables, he says, I want you to get it. I want you to understand. And so he goes to them and speaks to them in a language that they are going to grasp, that they're going to understand, that they're going to be able to put together in their lives and in their minds. And his desire is this. He said, I want you to come into a relationship with God. He said, I want to see you leave the old life behind and head in a new direction. Now, Jesus did this. He never came and says, well, where you are is okay. It's kind of interesting when you look at different characters in the Bible. He never came to a man and says, oh, congratulations, you've arrived. He always comes and says, we got to deal with something. We got to deal with a directional change, a change in your life. And he says, here's where we're going to go. This is what needs to happen. And he says, I want you to make a faith decision that's going to transform who you are, and it's going to transform your life, and you're going to find that kingdom growth in your life is available because of that decision. So here's what I want you to grasp this morning. You, yes, you can become part of God's kingdom. But you've got to become part of his kingdom to see the growth. You with me? You go, well, hey, what I want you to see first of all today is this: an invitation stands by the Son of God for you to become part of the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand, you will never see spiritual growth, at least biblical spiritual growth, until you cross that threshold from being lost to saved, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of what? Light. Until you make that surrender to God, kingdom growth is not available. But it is available if you'll make that step. It is out there if you'll take that step. And while there's some who would tell you, well, we really have no choice in the matter. We don't know who's going to be saved. God knows, and we just need to sit back and not worry about it. Well, that's a perspective that we're not going to talk about today, because, be honest with you, you and I, we're not God. We don't see things from his perspective. We see it from ours. So quit worrying about all that stuff and all the doctrinal thought. Don't worry about that stuff. Instead, take a moment, look at yourself, think about your life, and say, where am I? Am I in the kingdom of God? Have I crossed that threshold? Have I come into a relationship with the holy God through his Son Jesus Christ and been empowered by the Holy Spirit? Has that happened to you? If not, that's where we start. But if not, kingdom growth is available, but it's not going to happen. Why? Because you don't have God in your life. You don't have that relationship yet. You don't have to stay there, though. You don't have to remain separated from God. You don't have to stay in the struggle. You don't have to keep going. There's a better way, a higher calling, a more excellent way. Why? Holy God loves you. Holy God loves who? You. He says, I want a relationship with you. I want a connection with you. So the question really becomes this: not am I moral, am I nice, am I good, or am I better than my neighbor or better than family? The question becomes this: have I come to the place in my life where I have received God's offer of becoming part of his kingdom so that I can grow in the kingdom? And you say, well, I haven't crossed that line. That's the place to start. Without him, you got a mess, because there's no spiritual growth until you become part of the kingdom of God, until your heart is strangely warmed and you are changed in an instant. The offer stands. Have you crossed? So kingdom growth is available. Why don't you see something else? Verse 31, it is like a what? A grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Jesus speaks of the innate nature of the seed. He's going to talk about this seed, this little tiny, little black seed, little tiny seed, and talk about what's attached to it. So that's what I want you to see. Kingdom growth is not only available, it's attached. But it's not attached to you, it's attached to something else that's going to be placed in you and into your life. Catch what's going on. If you have a seed, any seed, and you put it in your hand, and you look at it, and you think, okay, man, that's little. Especially if it's a mustard seed, you think, man, this is really something. But if you use it properly, what happens? It becomes something so much larger. Now, Jesus has referenced one of the smaller seeds known to the people in the crowd. And I think what he's using is a little bit of hyperbole to say, do you know how little that seed is? They're going, oh, yeah. Have you ever seen one of those seeds? Go pick some up. You can put about 1,000 of them in my hand. I mean, they're just tiny little things. I mean, they literally look like, you know, the little black chick. You know, little bugs, you know, I mean, those little tiny, tiny little things that just, that they bite you, you know? That's what they look like. They're tiny little things. They're little. And so here's what I want you to understand. His ultimate thought is this. He's focused on the nature of the seed. Think about this little tiny seed. What is it? If you take a mustard seed and put it in the ground, what do you expect to get back? This is deep. You ready? A mustard plant. You don't put it in the ground going, I hope we get cotton. Why is that? The nature of the seed determines the fruit or the crop that comes out of it. It's already determined before that seed ever goes in the ground what's going to come up, because the Creator created that seed to do certain things and to be a certain, y'all are getting this yet? A certain thing. It's attached to the nature of the seed. This is the idea Jesus wants those listening to get. He says, when you made a decision and you heard the voice of God call to you and you said, yes, I will enter into the kingdom of God, here's what happened. Your very DNA changed. You're going, huh? Well, you're still human. Don't misunderstand. But his Holy Spirit was placed within you, and he has given you a what? A new heart, a new nature, a new direction. He says, now you have this seed of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in your life, and I'm going to take you somewhere on a journey if you'll go. I want you to catch what he's saying. It is not about how wonderful you are. It's about how wonderful the grace of Jesus is. When he comes in, he changes us. Here's what happens. Jesus says, I'm going to change your DNA. You're going, huh? I'm going to make you no longer a sinner. I'm going to make you a saint, a child of God. I want to give you a different direction. No longer is your heart bent away from God. Your heart's bent toward God. Those of you who are followers of God, go out and sin. What happens? Your heart just hurts. And you go, that's a mess. I got to do something about that. That's because the nature's changed. No longer do you want your path. You want God's path because of your nature has been changed. So that's what I want you to see. This is deep this morning. What happens? Your nature changes. Hello? Anybody listening? Your nature changes. Now get ready for some rather startling changes in the moment. The nature of a person who surrenders to the call of Holy God for eternal life changes in an instant. Yeah? Yeah. Instead of being satisfied with your way and where you are, your heart says, I want something better. I want the things of God. Instead of looking to meet your needs and your desires, you say, I want to listen to the voice of God. I want to hear what he has for me. In short, your nature changes. Now, I got to tell you a little story. After renewing my relationship with Jesus as a teenager, and these memories came back this weekend as well, I spent about a month in the hospital as a sophomore. And long story short, I was laid up in traction and couldn't go anywhere. And our youth pastor came and to visit with me. And I'll share with y'all, I came to know the Lord at 7. So some of you have heard this, that part of the story. But let me tell you the rest of the story, as Mr. Paul Harvey would say. I was laying there in the hospital, 15 years old, in traction. And our youth pastor comes and starts to talk to me and says, well, I want to tell you about how to become a Christian. Hello? I said, well, Rick, not the same Rick. He's not that old. I am one. And his words to me, oh my. He says, well, then why don't you live like one? He says, you profess to have your nature changed by the Holy Spirit of God, but your life isn't really reflecting that profession. So here's what happened. I said, okay. He challenged me with a verse of scripture. And I prayed it, and God began to show things to me. My heart began to change. My desires began to change. I got to tell you something. That day was a radical departure for me. Before that, my musical preferences were pretty loud and pretty dark. Now they're just pretty loud, okay? I still like a little bit upbeat music. Afterward, I was drawn to different kinds of music. In fact, what I did, I went and had all my old albums. What's an album? And CDs. I never went through cassettes. I just kind of jumped over and I burned them all. Got rid of them. I didn't want that stuff in my life. Before that commitment, I had a sticker on the back of my little Pontiac for the Dallas radio rock station. I think it was Eagle, if I remember right. I took that thing off. That's no longer me. Now I have a cross on the back of my car. Well, that'll remind you to slow down, won't it? Somebody's going to see that. Before that, I had no desire to read God's word. Guess what happened afterwards? I want to understand what God has for me. I began to read the Psalms and the Proverbs. I began to read the New Testament. I began to say, God, I want to understand where you are. I want you to know, before that, I rarely shared my faith with anyone. After that, I got kicked out of malls for handing out tracts. You're going, that's nuts. What I want you to understand is when you come into a relationship with Holy God, your DNA changes because what you are has been fundamentally altered by the Creator in that exchange. Your heart's different, and you're headed in a new direction because he's placed within you a new change. Kingdom growth is available. It's attached. Third, look at verse 32 in the first part. Yet when it is sown, it does what? It grows up. It grows up. Here's what I want you to understand. Kingdom growth is available. It's attached to the change that God does with you, but it's also anticipated. Let's come back to that thought we had a minute ago. Notice the second aspect of the parable, or the next aspect of the parable. When the seed with this new DNA is placed in the ground, it begins to what? Grow up. It grows up. What Jesus is basically saying is this: no one plants a seed with the hope of nothing in return. Why in the world would a farmer get out and prep the ground? Why would a gardener go out and get a garden ready, put seed in the ground and go, I sure hope nothing comes up? That's crazy, right? That's just not logical. You want to see an ROI. You know what that is? Return on investment. You're going, I'm out there sweating my backside off, digging holes and keeping weeds down. I want to see something grow up that I can take into the kitchen and cook, right? You stay with me. In short, the anticipation is to see the crop. Now, what happens to the seed? If you give it proper water, proper soil, proper sun, what happens? It grows up. You don't even have to tell it to do it. It'll just do it. When it's sown, it grows up. And Jesus' point, I think, is pretty obvious. If those people listening would be transformed from their old nature to God's new nature, here's what's going to happen. They're going to grow up. Yeah, there's going to be some watering needed. There's going to be some sunshine needed. But the truth of the matter is, unless something catastrophic comes along, they're going to produce a crop. And it's in this nature of the seed to produce a plant that results in not only more seeds, but a product that's beneficial to others. This leads to the converse of the seed growing up. Why do some seeds not develop? You ever planted something and nothing came up? Oh, I've done it many, many times. And I look back and I go, why didn't that grow? Could be because I didn't water it. Just a thought. If you don't water it, what happens? Not much. It's very easy farming, though. I can tell you that. Gardening, that's the easiest way to garden. Put it in the ground and hope nothing grows. Well, it's not very logical. Kind of nuts. In fact, in God's economy, he has a place for you. He has a place for you and me to grow and to thrive, but you're going to have to find it. God's going to open the door, but the step to be planted is left to you. So here's what I want you to grasp. Third thought is you should see what? Progress. You should see some progress in your life. Now, I got to tell you, this weekend, I was very grateful to the Lord that I've seen some progress in my life. I walked in that room, and I was thinking to myself, where did all these old people in? I didn't say it out loud. I thought it. Okay, I mean, you know, sometimes thoughts, you know, you don't share. But then I got to looking at some of their lives, and some of them have been through multiple marriages, and some of them have got kids with multiple partners, and some of them are really way out in left field, and some have just messed up their lives. And I look at myself, and I got my problems, and I've got my issues, but I got to tell you, I'm grateful that God's at work in me. Are you grateful he's at work in you? Can you see changes when you look at the big picture of your life, from where you used to be to where you are now? Have you arrived? Of course not. We understand that. But the reality is God, if you're his child and he's placed within you a new nature, you will change. Not you might, you will change. You're going to be a different person. It's part of your nature to grow up in Christ. In fact, there's no growth in your life. You may want to ask yourself this, do I know the Lord? Because a lack of all growth is a sure sign something's wrong. Why isn't something happening here? Maybe there's no connection. Maybe there's open rebellion in your life. Maybe you're saying to God, I know that's what you want, but I'm not going to do it. And if you're fighting against holy God, your growth's going to be stunted. It's going to slow down. The other side of this, and I want you to hear this clearly, is that not all believers mature at the same rate. Okay? I mean, sometimes we go, well, you need to be doing this and this and this, and by the time you're at year two, you ought to be here, and year four, you ought to be doing this, and year 10, you ought to be... Listen, some of us are mustard seeds, and some of us aren't. I can't think of any other seeds at this point without getting a bad joke started. So the reality is there's going to be progress. Different seeds germinate along a different timetable. So too do believers germinate, mature, and grow along a different timetable. But there will be progress. There will be progress. So don't look at your neighbor and go, well, I wish I was growing as fast as him or her. You know why? They're different than you are. They have a different growth rate than you do. But you need to have some growth. One last thing I want you to see. Kingdom growth is available, it's attached, it's anticipated, but it's also this, it's advancing. Look at verse 32, the last tab of it. And becomes what? If you're reading the ESV, the next word is larger. And becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now, what Jesus does here is he speaks about the productivity of the plant. We already talked about the progress, and sometimes it's faster and slower and takes a little bit longer for some, a little bit less for others. Now he talks about this progress. If you've ever seen a tiny mustard seed, you literally can't hold one in your hand. That's how little they are. They're just tiny. And you're going, well, mustard seeds don't grow into trees. In the Middle East, they do. We don't live in the Middle East. If you haven't noticed, it just feels like it in the summertime. But we have a cool winter, and we have freezing temperatures that changes the way things grow. And what I want you to understand is he's talking about a seed that if you'll plant it, it would grow up and become not a 60-foot or 100-foot sequoia, but it'd become an 8 to 10 to 12-foot tall tree. That's a tree in my book. In West Texas, that's a mammoth of a tree. Around here, it'd just be a little tree. But it's a tree nonetheless. Because when you hold that seed in your hand and you look at it, you go, well, there's nothing going to come out of that. There's no way. It's worthless. It's useless. It's little. It'll blow away if I don't hold on to it. But you put it in the ground. You set it loose. You put it into practice. What happens? It grows. And it grows up. Jesus' point was this. He says, you're going to be something if you'll let the kingdom of God loose in your life. A few years ago, I traveled to the Middle East, and I came across a plant I had never seen it in this way before. Have you ever heard of an aloe vera bush? Huh? Me either. I've seen aloe vera, you know, they're about that big, and you can cut a limb, a leaf off or whatever it's called, and you can use it as an ointment. I walked up to the seashore of the Sea of Galilee at a kibbutz, and I go, what in the world is that plant? I'm kind of interested in plants, so I said, I wonder what it was. I look, and I'm going, that's an aloe vera. There's no way. I kid you not. The bush stretched as far as this platform is wide. You're going, how could it do that? They die down in the winter. Not in the Middle East. On the sea shore at the Mediterranean, they don't have winter. So everything stays alive and just keeps growing and growing and growing. I was blown away by this beautiful plant and how it was. It's a bush. Jesus is speaking, listen, of the advance of the kingdom of God being accomplished, how? Through unusual circumstances and through unexpected directions. And that's the way, listen, that God has been working for years, centuries. Take a little historical trip with me for just a moment. You ever heard of a guy named Abram? Abram was a pagan. You realize he was a pagan first. And then God did what to him? Came into his life and says, you, I want you to follow me. Well, where are we going? We're going over there. Where? To a land I'm going to show you. And he changed his life. He took a guy that had no connection with Holy God and used him. How about Isaac? You've heard of Isaac. He did the same thing with him. He was already in the heritage. How about a guy named Jacob? You know, he had an experience one day where there was a ladder or a staircase came down. You know what he was doing when he saw that, don't you? He was running for his life from his brother, and yet God said, I've got something for you. Jeremiah, you know much about Jeremiah? Jeremiah had an interesting life. He came along in the later part of the southern kingdom, and God's call on his life was pretty tough. He says, okay, Jeremiah, you don't need to get married. And by the way, don't even go to weddings. It's a waste of your time because everybody's going to die anyway. Real depressing life. Don't go to festivals. Don't go to stuff. And just go out and tell people God's coming to bring judgment. It's over. Deal with it. How about that for a life? Is it like fun? But God chose him. How about a guy named Peter? You heard of Peter? Yeah. And he's the one that stood up and said, Jesus? I don't know Jesus. As Jesus was being tried. You remember what happened after the resurrection? Jesus came to him and said, I want you to be the rock. Had he failed miserably, the Lord? Absolutely. But what happened? God says, I'm still going to use you. How about this guy, Matthew? You know who Matthew was? Sorry, Mark. We're in Mark, aren't we? How about Matthew? We'll talk about Matthew. I got him down here. Matthew was a guy who was a tax collector. Real well-loved in the culture, by the way. Just like today. We always love to see the tax collector coming. No. God looked at him and says, follow me. I want you. What I want you to get from all of this is the big idea. God's kingdom, listen, is going to advance and progress and grow regardless of yours or my participation in it. It is not based on you, nor is it based on me. It's based on him at work. And so when he comes to you and says, my kingdom's going forward, it's advancing, it's progressing, it's moving, will you become part of it? That's the question you have to answer. What are you going to do? See, God was inviting these people at the Sea of Galilee to become part of something so much greater as they released their new nature into service to a holy God. And God's desire was then, and as we're going to see in a minute, is still now, is to bring people like you and me into his kingdom service. His desire is to take people like us and use us. You know, I spent the better part of the week with third through sixth graders. And I looked at those kids and go, oh my goodness, is that what I put my sponsors through when I was a kid? And the answer is no, I was way worse than any of the kids we had this week. But I looked at some of those kids and I was thinking to myself, what will God use their lives to do when they surrender to him? Wow. Here's what I want you to understand as I wrap up. You're going to decide either to follow God and grow in him or not. You go, well, no, I'm not going to make a decision. Well, you just did. Your decision was no. You're going to decide. You don't get a choice on this one. You're either going to follow God or you're not. You're going to grow in him or not. Which one's it going to be? But the neat thing is this. You do get to decide. You get to decide when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, follow me. You get to say yes. What I want you to see this morning as we close is this. Every person on planet Earth has a decision to make. And it's this, will you surrender to the call of God or not? When he comes to your life, will you say yes or not? Or are you going to just keep on going your own way? One of the amazing things to me, if I were God, and I'm not, but if I were God, I don't think I would give people the choice. I think I would say, no, you just got to come on, deal with it. Because the alternative was not that pleasant in eternity. But for some reason, holy God says, I'm going to leave the choice with you. I mean, you think about it, so we're pretty damaged since the fall of humanity back in the garden. We're kind of messed up. Our hearts are born with a bent to do what? To sin. You don't have to teach a kid to sin. They already know how to do it. You've already got it figured out how to sin. The question is will holy God change you? See, our heart's desire before Jesus is this. I want my way every time. But from our perspective, God leaves the choice to you. How many times have you heard someone share with you the truth that God totally loves you? Like you're hearing this morning. And you say, no, I don't think so. Really? How many times have you heard about an empty tomb with Jesus conquering death, rising to bring new life? And you just kind of go, that's boring. I don't get that. Please understand, you have but one trip through this life. One. Some of you are sitting here going, man, 30 years. I'll never be alive for a 30-year reunion. Before you know it, it'll be here. Boom. You're an old man, an old woman, with kids going to college, or have kids of their own, and you'll be a grandpa. Think about that one. Please understand, you have but one trip through this life, and what you do with Jesus will be revealed by how you live. You can either pray, talking to God, you can give, you can serve, you can speak, you can grow in Christ, or you can do this. You can waste it all on yourself. Get to the end of your life and go, what do I have? Nothing. God anticipates you allowing him to change your nature and then to grow you up in the kingdom of God. But it all starts with this, a surrender that says, God, I'm going to trust you. I want to trust you. Have you given your all to Jesus? Have you nailed it down with him and said, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am part of God's kingdom and I want to see my life grow and I can evidence that. Look at this. This is where God's worked here. He's still got that to do, but he's done this and he's done this and he's done that. But I'm headed in a direction that God's working. If you can't this morning honestly say, that's in my life, I got to tell you, you need Jesus. You need Jesus because he wants you. And the conclusion is this: spiritual growth is a normal outcome of following Christ. You don't work at it. You work at it, but you don't have to work at it because it's going to happen in him. But do you know him? Here in a moment, we're going to have a time we call an invitation. There'll be myself and Rick will be available here at the front. If you need to talk with someone, we have counselors who will be available to talk with you longer if you need. We want you, can I tell you, I want you to know Jesus like I know Jesus, like many in this room know Jesus as loving Savior, compassionate friend, carrying us, correcting us, changing us. If you don't know him, don't put it off. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day and allowing us to spend this month together talking about being in Christ. We pray for those in this room who maybe have never made that decision to follow you. Lord, they may be church members, they may have been baptized, they may be nice, but in their heart they know they don't know you. Father, we pray for those listening, not only here but out on the radio, who need to pray a prayer something like this: Jesus, I'm a sinner. My life is not all that great. Or maybe it's okay, but it could be better. And I want you to forgive me of my sin, Jesus, to come into my heart, to forgive me. And I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for those in this room and listening who have maybe prayed that prayer this morning for the first time. I pray they would reach out to someone and share that truth. Or here in the auditorium by coming and sharing with myself or with Rick and praying with a prayer counselor and talking about those issues. If they're listening in, that they would reach out to us through telephone or internet and say, I made this decision. I want to know Christ. I know him and I want to follow him. Lord, I pray for those right now who are struggling. They're going, well, but I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. I'm a moral person. Lord, the question isn't all of that, but it's, are you a saved person? Father, I pray for your hand to be free in this moment, that you would move as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's respond. And part of that will be singing, but the rest is to take the decision you need to without him.